boys and girls. It's your boys, Lock Down.
It's your boys.
And we're here for episode 16, question mark?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, episode 16, question mark.
Yes, we are here, episode 16. And we're happy to be here. We have a lot to talk about. To start off, though, in the news, in the football news, in the NFL news, Antonio Brown is making headlines again by officially requesting a trade from the Pittsburgh Steelers over Instagram or Twitter. Over Twitter.
Didn't he tweet like it was fun in Pittsburgh? Like,
he did like
a goodbye. Thanks for the 9 years.
It was like a hype video that said, "Thank you, Steeler Nation, for a big 9 years. Time to move on and forward. Hashtag new demands." So he requested the trade, but Pittsburgh is still sitting here like, what? Like, they're expecting that. I mean, it's expected, but they have never formally put in anything that we're shopping him. So what's next for Antonio Brown, basically?
Well, the next step is going to be to see what the market's going to offer for him, right? If they're going to offer a first, like if a team's going to go out there and offer a first round pick or like a first and a second, then I think you do it. Maybe the 49ers, they're getting back Jimmy G. We've seen rumors about him going to the Niners. Mm-hmm. Maybe they give them a couple draft picks. But if you're the Steelers, I mean, you still have a pretty good team for next year. You know, if none of the offers are too good, if teams are lowballing you and they're just giving you like a fourth round, a third round pick for Antonio Brown, I wouldn't do that.
Right, right.
You're still on contract, my guy. Mm-hmm. Like, you got to play.
So, I mean, yeah, because there's a lot to be expected on the other half of the Antonio Brown deal. But do you think by how he's – because with the Steelers locker room, there's been – a lot of fingers pointed at Mike Tomlin, which is fair because he doesn't have a whole lot of leadership to give and that he just lets his players do whatever he wants.
Well,
or
he lets his stars get away with way too much.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right.
So do you think teams are looking into that, saying Antonio Brown thinks that he can get away with whatever he wants? Or do you think it would just, this could be something as simple as of ending this, you know, attitude with a coach that's not going to let that stuff slide? Do you think it's an easy attitude adjustment?
No. I think as far as he's concerned, he's done in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
I think he went and talked to the front office. He talked to the guys there. He left and he was like, I'm done. I'm going to a different team. Peace out.
Or, well, what I really mean by that question is, if let's say he gets traded to a team like San Francisco with Kyle Shanahan, do you think he's going to attempt to, you know, like I'm the captain now, basically, and walk in that locker room like this is my team? Or do you think, let's use San Francisco as an example. Do you think Kyle Shanahan would just let Antonio Brown walk into that team and do whatever he wants? Or will Antonio Brown be able to let a coach tell him what to do and take orders, basically?
I mean, that's the trade-off when you have a guy like Antonio Brown.
Right.
All I'm going to say about it, and then I'll throw it to Chris, is that I personally don't think when you get like a diva wide receiver that they're going to really listen to anything the coach says. They're going to do what the plays they call. They're going to celebrate when they score. At the end of the day, I think Antonio Brown's way more concerned about his money and he's more concerned about his stats than he's ever going to be about winning or about team chemistry or any of that stuff. So, you know, I think if you get him, he's an incredible talent. He's going to put up a bunch of numbers for you and that will lead to some wins. But I don't know. That's a little bit too deep, I think, for Antonio. I think he's just going to go there and play football and make money and put up a bunch of stats. I think that's his mindset.
Yeah. I think he put out a tweet, I don't know how many weeks ago, but it pretty much seemed like he wanted to be a 49er and he wanted out of Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
So the 49ers are definitely a favorite, but it seems as if Mike Tomlin just kind of was just tolerating Antonio Brown for like 2 years or so. Just like, you know, he's a great player. He's probably the best wideout in the NFL. So, you know, I'm just going to deal with him right now. And now it's just at a point where, like, he just can't do it anymore. And Antonio doesn't want anything to do with them. So, you know.
Well,
not
like, well, they got Juju. I think that was right. The big thing.
You know, they do.
Juju was the big thing last year. And then he was voted team MVP by the Steelers locker room.
Right,
right.
And then after all that happened, then the big blow up with Ben and Antonio finally happened. And then, now we're here. So I think Juju was a big proponent of that happening.
So now I look at you know, what's next for the Steelers? Because in a couple of years, or maybe even after this year, Big Ben's going to retire. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
But who's going to step in at QB for them? They already lost Le'Veon Bell. He's not coming back. So they're going to lose Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown.
Yeah, he'll be able to lead that Steelers running team, mm-hmm. Connor. Yeah.
So I still
haven't given up on my boy. I still haven't given up on my boy Josh Dobbs.
Which hey, they hit Mason Rudolph too.
I want to make a point. There have been at least 4 or 5 viewers of Lockdown Podcast that have come against Matt hard on that point, that Josh Dobbs is in fact not the guy to take over the and I'm not going to ask you to reiterate your points. If you want to hear Matt's points, go back to like episode like what, 1 or 2, maybe 3. He Matt made his stance on Josh Dobbs, and I agree with Matt wholeheartedly on his point. But, yeah. Josh Dobbs,
Other potential trade news, or actual trade news, the Denver Broncos traded for Joe Flacco.
Chris, I want you to start on this because your opinion is definitely going to be more optimistic than me and Matt's.
Yes.
Okay.
So, Chris, what are your thoughts on Joe Flacco?
First of all, my thoughts were, I was surprised that it happened now. Like, it just totally caught me off guard. My hope previously was that we would draft a QB high. If we had the 10th pick in the draft, I was hoping we'd get Drew Lock or Kyler Murray, one of those two, which I don't really anticipate that happening now. I still would be for drafting a quarterback right now and have them develop under Flacco. But now, after seeing this, it seems like to me Elway wants to win now. He believes that our defense is good enough to take us to the next level. That's just from what I think is going into his mind. But at the same time, our offense is not ready. It's not playoff ready still, even with Flacco. And he's 34. He's still good. He doesn't have a lot left in him. But he needs help with he needs more wide receivers. Emmanuel Sanders is still hurt. Other than that, he doesn't have that many guys. Philip Lindsay's not healthy right now. Our O-line needs to be better. But now with Mike Munchak, that offensive line's going to be a lot better. He's one of the best O-line coaches in the league. But from what I heard, Vic Fangio was a coach for the Ravens when they won the Super Bowl with Flacco. So he's had experience with him. Kubiak's had experience with him. So they had strong impressions of him, and they recommended that we would get him. So we gave up a 4th-round pick. I feel like that was kind of high.
Sure.
But overall, I'm excited. We'll see what happens. I think he's still got a lot left in him, and plus he's better than Keenum, in my opinion. They got to get rid of Keenum. They got to trade him. They got to cut him because he's got a big contract.
He does. He has $10 million guaranteed. Yeah. I think it's $18 million.
There's no way. Yeah. I think they ought to just cut him.
As of right now, as of the second on their roster, they are paying the quarterback position at the second highest amount of money in the entire NFL. Yeah.
Good Lord.
And they don't have one good quarterback.
Actually, so I want to – this is the only point I'm going to make because I know for a fact Matt is going to make the same point I am, and I'll let him go on it. Okay. Since John Elway – has been the quarterback of the Denver Broncos.
You mean the GM?
Yeah. No, quarterback.
Since been the
I'm sorry. Elway's... I'm sorry. Not yeah. I made the wrong point there. Sorry, guys.
Since John Elway's been the
GM. Yes. Well, no, not even GM. But I just listen to some of the last starting quarterbacks of the Denver Broncos. When did John Elway take over as GM?
Peyton Manning.
I believe 2011. It was before he took over when Tebow was starting.
Oh, did he? Okay.
Tebow, I saw a graphic the other day. Tebow, besides Peyton Manning, I think has the second best record out of all starting quarterbacks besides Peyton for the Broncos since Elway took over.
Dang it.
All right. Well, point being.
Kind of weird.
But what's your point, Zach?
The Broncos have not had a consistent quarterback since Manning, and that was, what, 3 seasons, I believe, that they had him. Yeah, since then, they've carried Brock Osweiler, Trevor Siemian, Paxton Lynch, which is a huge bust, and Case Keenum, now Joe Flacco. I'm sure there are other, you know, bench guys that came in to substitute here and there. Homie John Elway does not know. Actually, I think he does know how to draft a starting quarterback. There's a part of me that thinks he doesn't want to draft a good starting quarterback in Denver because he held so many titles in that freaking city.
He's the best quarterback in franchise history. He's not bringing in someone better.
He is the best quarterback in franchise history.
He's going to win with defense. That's what he's going to win with.
Can you imagine how humiliating that would be to bring in a guy to take down your own records? That's awful. You don't want to do that.
I think that's hilarious, but I don't know. It is hilarious.
Well, I don't know, but I just the Broncos have proven the last couple of years. Like I like Joe Flacco, but his numbers, if you compare them to Trevor Siemian over the last couple of years, they're not that different. They're different, but not that different.
Talking about numbers, if you look at all starting quarterbacks in the NFL from 2011 to this year, he has the worst QBR of every single starting quarterback.
Flacco? In
the NFL. Yes, Joe Flacco.
Ooh. Yeah, it's
since
so
after Super Bowl victory that he had until currently.
So, I mean, I feel like the time for excuses is kind of over because that was in 2015, that Super Bowl maybe 14.
That was the one the Broncos won. Well, I think the Ravens won.
It was a while ago.
2 16? Years before that?
12, 13, 13, maybe 13. That sounds about right.
What it was, yeah.
So there was at least 5 seasons there. To have a good recovery for Flacco, and it never really came. Maybe we could point at the sure. You could always point the finger at schematics. You can always point the finger at who his wide receivers were. I don't know. I'm very skeptical. I'll hand it over to Matt after this point. I'm a little skeptical as Joe Flacco, the quarterback, because I mean, granted, some of those quarterbacks in Denver could have had potential to be good, but they never had the offensive line to be good. They never had a chance to really show themselves off. So, Matt, what do you think about Flacco to the Broncos?
Okay, so I have a really big issue with this team. John Elway has one. He's got like one thing he looks for when he's looking for a quarterback, right? He brought in Case Keenum because he had to, because they just like didn't have a guy. But other than him, dude, like Joe Flacco, I don't care about his numbers. He's 6'6". He's going to be a star in this league. Yeah. Paxton Lynch, he's 6'5". Brock Osweiler, he's 6'8". We're going to offer him $18 million. If it wasn't for the Texans offering him $20 million, he would have probably still been with the Broncos. But look, John Elway either doesn't look for the right things in a quarterback. He's looking at all these like combine stats instead of just looking at a guy like Kyler Murray and being like, that's a stud. I don't care if he's 5'11". Look, he's a star. He has all the potential in the world. He's going to be a star in the NFL, right? But then you look at a guy and he's just like, he's tall. I like his arm. And it's like, how's that working out with Josh Allen? How's that arm looking out? He can run. He can't throw.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like these combine stats, and you can't judge a quarterback based on, you know, like only how tall they are, how big their hand is. It's such an outdated form to judge a quarterback by. And I think John Elway's kind of stuck in yesteryear with his way that he scouts with quarterbacks. But they should definitely try to trade Case Keenum. I don't know what they're going to get for him. Maybe like a 7th round pick. Get
him
to
something.
Send him to Jacksonville. Get something. Right. I don't know. But they need to get the rest of his contract. They're still going to owe him the guaranteed money. But they need to get the rest of his contract off their cap.
I think he had to go to Arizona. Because Cliff Kingsbury was his offensive coordinator in college. And Vance Joseph is there. And he would help Josh Rosen.
That's a fantastic segue. All right, guys. Who do you think the Arizona Cardinals are going to draft for the number one overall pick? I think they're going to draft Kyler Murray.
You think they're getting Murray number one?
What?
Yes, I do. They fired Steve Wilks, their head coach, after 1 year. Basically said, they said, we made a mistake. Our bad. We brought in Steve Wilks. We didn't like that. Right? They drafted Josh Rosen. I was high on Josh Rosen before the year started. What was he like, the 7th least? He was like the 7th most impressive rookie of the class.
He wasn't like, that great, yeah.
Every other
quarterback showed more promise. Like Sam Darnold looks like he could be like a good starting quarterback. I didn't see any
absolutely.
Of that.
No, yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Here's my point, right? The reason I say this is because I think Kyler Murray is going to be like I think he's better than Baker Mayfield. I think he's going to be like a generational type talent guy. So do you pass over that? Because you don't need it? Do you get a pretty good defensive end when you could get a franchise-altering quarterback to change the way your franchise is going to look in the future?
And looking at Arizona, they have the room right now just to say, why not? Let's just shoot the shot and see what happens. You know?
The Browns did. They drafted Baker. They got with the number one pick.
Yeah.
And everybody was like, why did you draft Baker so early? He wasn't. Why did you do that? And then it was like, oh, he's a star. Oh, he's the best. Oh, that's why.
Well, I'll tell you what, too. Last year, how many mock drafts did we see him actually going number one at all?
Right.
I mean, everybody was like, oh, Josh Allen's number one or Sam Darnold's number one. Yeah. All of a sudden, Baker Mayfield's number one. And they're like, oh, well, you know, he's like, what, 5'11", 6 foot. Yeah. You know, he's competitive. He's an alpha dog. But overall, I mean, the Browns, you know what? They made a smart decision. What do you know? And Denzel Ward, number four pick, has been great too.
Yeah.
So the Browns are on the upswing.
And talking about their draft picks, Jabril Peppers had a really good year this year.
Yeah.
He played a bunch of different positions and he really, really looked good.
And Myles Garrett's looking good.
Yeah. They have a really good history past couple of years with draft picks, man. We don't usually say that with the Browns, but
yeah, it's surprising.
Their franchise has
John Dorsey's playing really well. Or John Dorsey is handling that team very well.
GM, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He used to be with the Chiefs.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm excited, man. The Browns look good. And I think, again, like I said, Kyler Murray, I think, is going to be an incredible talent. Mm-hmm. And he chose the NFL over over baseball. And I don't know if that was like the smartest move in terms of like health and money.
I don't know, we'll see.
But if he enjoys playing football more, amen.
Well, he's potentially going to be the first player ever to be drafted in the first round of the MLB and the NFL. Which
is making history.
Mind-boggling.
Why not, you know?
Yeah.
Pretty awesome.
But I would like to see that. Kyler Murray going to Arizona.
Breathe some life into the franchise.
Cliff Kingsbury did say, before he was the coach. He did say that if I had the number one overall pick, I would take Kyler Murray.
At least then he'd be a
and
man.
He now
you
has
know,
number one overall pick.
We'd see him like that man sticks to his word. So.
Yeah.
Who knows? Maybe he'll draft Kyler and say, we're going to the Super Bowl this year. But like, well, he did say he was going to draft him like 2 years ago. So
when the draft happens, we're going to look back at episode 16. And we're going to show that Matt predicted Kyler Murray going number one.
Realistically, they're going to draft someone like Nick Bosa. Nick Bosa. And I'm going to be real upset about it because he's going to be good. He's going to be a really good player. But like,
he's not Kyler.
Exactly.
Exactly. Put him next to Chandler Jones, Nick Bosa. That'd be lethal.
That's Robert Mathis, Dwight Freedy type stuff, right?
So,
let's say Arizona plays it safe and they skip over Kyler Murray. The 49ers have the second pick. The Jets have the third. Giants have the fourth. Bucks have the fifth. Do you think Kyler lands at any of those teams? Top five?
If he falls to the fourth pick, the Giants are going to get.
You know, yeah.
Kyler or Dwayne Haskins. It's going to be one of those two.
Dwayne Haskins.
They're getting that quarterback.
Dwayne Haskins, yeah.
I'm actually really high on Dwayne Haskins, too.
Mm-hmm. He just seems like a giant.
Haskins could move to Jacksonville at seven, too. I could see that.
Man, Stephen A. Smith said that Dwayne Haskins can't throw the football, and I was like freaking out. He had over 4,000 passes.
He only ran the ball when he needed to. Like, he mainly passed the ball. No, that was ridiculous. That was a dumb point.
I don't know if he's quite like the electrifying star that Murray is going to be, in my opinion, but I do like Haskins a lot too.
The combine's pretty soon, so we'll see how they perform
too. April?
No, it's like it's usually February, so it should be soon.
Nice.
Don't know when, but
we made a point on it before. I want to transition very quickly before we move into basketball. Talking about Kyler moving from the Oakland A's to the NFL. Bryce Harper, Manny Machado have still yet to be signed, and pitchers and catchers reported yesterday. What do we think on these? I mean, these are arguably two generational players in the MLB who, and now the conversation can be turned to, they want $300 million contracts, probably close to like 8 years, 10 years, honestly. But teams are not willing to give it to them. They want short-term contracts right now. They want, let's play it out to like 3 years and see what happens. Let's play it out to, we're not going to give you $300 million, but if you stick around, maybe we'll give it to you. What are your thoughts on Machado and Harper?
The cautionary tale of Albert Pujols.
Ooh, do tell.
I don't even, what team paid him a bunch of money?
The Angels?
Yeah, it was the Angels. Yeah, they gave him a nuts, like, 7 or 8 year contract after he was done with the Cardinals.
And he was, like, in his 30s, right?
Yeah, in his 30s for a stupid amount of money. And then, like, 2 years into his contract, he really started to regress. And that was, like, probably one of the worst. Looking back, it's a huge risk. Looking at, like, his fourth year and fifth year on that contract, it's, like, one of the worst contracts of all time.
Yeah. I mean, he was smart. Pujols was smart.
He made so much money. Oh my god!
Oh, for like putting in half-ass work. Yeah, he made a it was awesome.
But again, they're still young guys though. I don't know how young Bryce and Manny are, but they're still pretty young, right?
They gotta be in their 20s.
Especially Harper, he's still in his 20s. Yeah, I mean, Machado is probably like 28. Yeah,
I get it. I think if you're the Yankees, you have to go all in on Bryce Harper. I don't know why they haven't yet. They have all the money in the world. Yeah, you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. I don't get it.
I mean, if you're going to sign a guy to a 10-year contract, do it while they're, like, 25, like, or whatever they are.
Get them now, yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
lock them up for the rest of their career.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Zach, you said before that, they think that they're stacked in their outfield.
Yeah, well, Aaron Judge said – what'd you say?
He knows guys. Who cares?
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying.
They still have Carl Crawford? I don't remember.
They got freaking – Giancarlo and four out there though. I mean, he's out there either hitting bombs out of 1 out of 10 hits or striking out my guy, him and Judge. No, Aaron Judge did say that he is willing to move positions. I don't know where, but he's willing to move positions for Harper. I believe the insiders for the Yankees believe that they are stacked and they don't have the room to put Harper in there. I think with baseball, there's always room to put, like, the Red Sox could fit in Bryce Harper if they really wanted to. Like,
you have a DH spot, you idiot.
I know. And the White Sox are waiting for Machado, another American League team. The teams like the Padres and the Giants that have both called in for Harper and Machado, which today the Padres called in on Machado, that they're in a tougher position because they have to put a pitcher, at the nine hole. So that makes sense. But American League teams, you have no excuse. You have no excuse because you do have the DH spot. You could, if you really want him to, sure, put Judge in the DH and move Harper back to where he is. And he's a right fielder, I believe. I mean, outfield's outfield. You can go anywhere you want out there. I don't know.
Center field's a little different because you have a lot more room to cover.
Sure, you should. Yeah.
But even with outfield, though, it'll help them if they have four good outfielders.
Yeah.
Because then they can rest guys. Like, you know what I mean? They can basically, like, transition. Right. Right. Through the year, you have to play how many games do they play? 162.
I mean, like, I'm really not trying to toot my team's horn, but like, toot. The Red Sox were super good at transitioning players in and out. Why do you think they were so consistent with such good stamina all season? Because Alex Cora was a creative manager who learned how to work with Steve Pierce and Mitch Moreland at first base, how to work in between Jackie Bradley, Mookie Betts, Benintendi, and Brock Holt, and all these guys in the outfield. He knew what he was doing to work it in. That's, again, like we were just saying, that's why you don't have an excuse to wait on Bryce Harper. You have sign him.
The only sport that the excuse that signing this guy would give us too much depth is basketball.
Yep.
You know what I mean? That's the only sport that you can even make that argument. If you're saying that in baseball, you don't know what you're doing. Exactly. Like, you don't know how to run your franchise.
So
it's such a long season. By the time, if they had four really good outfielders, by the time they get to the playoffs, they're going to be relatively healthy.
Yeah.
If you just keep rotating them out. Some guy goes down, you still got another guy.
Guy gets banged up, you can sit him for a week. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
You got to think this is a weird time for Machado and Harper because spring training starts in less than two weeks probably, and they don't know if they're playing in Arizona or Florida for the next month or if they're playing at all to start the season. Mm-hmm. Like, that's pretty heavy stuff, man. That has to be contributed with wherever they do sign. That has to be put into a factor for if you're going to power rank the team that they signed to. It's probably going to look similar to, I mean, this was an injury, so it's a little different. But when Gordon Hayward came back from injury, everyone thought, most people were like, oh, can't wait to see how he finally fits in with the lineup. It's like, my guy, he just came off of a really serious injury. But in this case, my guy, Harper, had to move his entire life to, I don't know, Chicago or Philadelphia. Literally yesterday, and now they're playing tomorrow, his first game of the season. And this is a different situation than if you were to get traded midseason, because this guy's been waiting around all offseason. This should have happened in December, honestly. A trade like, or a signing like this should have happened in December.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It's But, you know.
So where do you guys think Machado and Bryce end up playing this year? Any guesses?
I still think Bryce is going to New York. Honestly, maybe the Padres, but I think Machado ends up going to a team like the Padres, a team like that's kind of under the radar. That's not going to be like a contender or anything. Sure. But I think Harper's probably had enough playing for like, you know, not a great team. You know, I think he wants to go to like one of the major teams in baseball. Mm-hmm. I can see him going to somewhere like the Yankees. Maybe not the Yankees, but like a perennial contender. Mm-hmm. I can see him going somewhere like that.
I'm gonna say this: there's been one mystery team that is yet to be. I'm not gonna say the Red Sox, by the way. It's not
the
true,
Marlins.
No, and that's even less of a chance.
Derek
than the Red
Jeter,
Sox.
Come on.
Derek Jeter wants to watch that franchise fall down. We all know it's true.
Well, hey, Posada works for them now, I think. I think I saw an alert about that. It's like the Yankees are taking over the Marlins.
The New York Marlins, let's do it.
Exactly.
Bring A-Rod in, let's do it.
Anyway, there's been a mystery team that has been in talks with Harper for pretty much the entire offseason, but nobody knows who that team is. I believe this team is the same team that traded for Yasiel Puig, the same team that landed Sonny Gray, the same team that's looking at Craig Kimbrell, and it's the Cincinnati Reds. I think the Reds are playing a very heavy contributor into the signing of Bryce Harper, and that this is a team that's on the come up, just like the Kings in basketball. That this team, not a lot of teams are talking about right now because they had a big offseason, probably one of the biggest off seasons in baseball. They made a lot of big signings. They made a lot of big trades. I think Harper's going to Cincinnati. If not Cincinnati, then Philly. Philly, I think, is the obvious one because he's been talking about.
Yeah.
He's been in the news with Philly for. That's been the loudest one is Philadelphia because there's been all kinds of teasers and like he's had like some. There was like a bat from Harper that had the Philly color on it. I don't know, something like that. But it, you know, trade or signing season. But I think Harper's going to Cincy. Machado is going to the White Sox, in my opinion, because. Mm. Because of course he is. Like it just makes sense. Like I think his brother-in-law plays for the team and he's it got talked about when the signing season started, and he went to Chicago and talked to them and he said, "Nah, I'm gonna make my way around." But every interview he went to was just kind of like, "Yeah, but Chicago. I mean, look at they offered him pretty close to $300 million, so it's intended." But I think he's in the same boat as Harper though. Like he wants that money, but even Chicago is like, all right, we'll throw this out. But there's always the but with these contracts, you know, like Matt said, Pujols effect. So who knows? I mean, Machado did, you know, he was the last strikeout of the World Series. That could be a real impact on this season, this coming year. Hey, moving on from baseball.
My quick,
brought up,
my,
oh, go
my
ahead.
Quick prediction.
Actually, sorry, that was rude. Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, it was. All right. Anyway, I'll make it brief. I think ultimately Harper ends up going to Philly. I don't think he's going to get a long contract. I'm thinking more like 2 or 3 years.
Right.
He's going to get like at least $30 million a year. And then I believe Machado ends up going to the White Sox. That just seems like a foregone conclusion there. And I don't think he gets a long-term contract either. I think it's about the same. So they'll both get about $30 million a year, I believe.
Yeah.
Philly and Chicago, I believe, will be those destinations. I think it could happen within the next week or two.
Yeah.
Nice. Now, Zach, you referenced Gordon Hayward a couple minutes ago.
Yes, I did.
Gordon Hayward's game has really gone up since Kyrie Irving's been out of the lineup. I'm gonna go
Utah
ahead.
Gordon is
okay,
back.
Here's the thing: people don't understand because nobody watched Gordon Hayward because nobody watched the Utah Jazz. So they were just like, "Oh, he's a white guy. That means he's a spot up shooter." Gordon Hayward isn't really a spot up shooter. He's a ball handler. He runs the pick and roll. He makes passes out of the pick and roll, and he can score both pulling up and then driving to the rim. Mm-hmm. I think everyone just thought he was a spot up shooter because he's white, and it's
never
like
was. Yeah.
It's not what he does. He can hit threes, but he's not like this crazy spot up shooter. And Brad Stevens had him playing that role earlier in the year, and it was like, you know, he wasn't hitting shots efficiently. And it's like, That's probably because his role isn't what it should be.
Right.
And he's proven he's
like an athletic playmaker. It's really what he is.
Yeah. But the Celtics they've had an identity crisis the entire season in that I know they were against non-contender teams, but the fact that they were 7-2 without Kyrie said something about the team. The fact that when Kyrie was hurt, then the team had an identity, that they knew what they were doing. That was an issue for a while. So now go ahead, Matt, you're going to say something.
So that's my thing, is that they have a lot of young guys. Yeah. And those young guys, they want to play well. They want to make money. I think it's something that it's about the team. It's always about the team. Jason Tatum wants to get a max contract. He's good enough to get one. You know, Jaylen Brown wants to get a big contract. Terry Rozier wants to get a big contract. When Kyrie Irving has a crazy usage rate and he's the main focus of your offense, other guys probably aren't going to get a max contract. So they don't enjoy their roles.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Jason Tatum doesn't want to sit there and sit on the wing all game. He wants the ball in his hands. He wants to be the playmaker, you know? So I think the reason why they play better is because they're young and they like their roles more.
Yeah.
They enjoy playing with their roles more. I don't think they're necessarily better without Kyrie.
Agreed.
I think some of it falls on Brad Stevens as a coach.
Of course.
Because as a coach, you know, this is what Spoelstra did really well in Miami. You have to somehow make it so all your main guys are happy, you know, and all playing the type of basketball they like to play. And that's definitely an issue with Boston this year. But also, the 2-7, the 7-2 or 9-2 stat that's being thrown around, most of those teams that they've beaten are like Cleveland and New York and like bad teams. So like, and they lost to two playoff teams and they've only beaten two playoff teams. You know, so I don't think it's this huge deal. Again, I'm not even like, I'm not super high on like Kyrie or Boston, but they beat the Sixers.
Yeah. Without Kyrie, right?
That was
without Kyrie.
But like, I'm really big on Tobias Harris, and I was watching that game, and I was like, this Boston team is for real.
So
Boston.
Do you think – so this is like – it's honestly a big spoonful for Brad Stevens because he – whether people want to admit it or not, this is a powerful depth chart. And it's a young depth chart, but with Kyrie, do you think that with this team, if they were to – because a lot of people are saying there's trouble in paradise with the Boston Celtics. That's been the big headline all week. Trouble in paradise with their losses. When they were up against the Lakers, they're up against the Warriors, up against the Clippers, and they lost against all three of those teams over the last month, and they lost all of them. And those are all playoff – Lakers we're going to get to in a little bit. But for the most part, decent or really good teams. And mainly the Lakers. But the – So there's just a lot in this, you know, this cupboard for Brad Stevens, and he doesn't really know how to organize it all the time. And or more so, he brought in Kyrie, or Danny Ainge brought in Kyrie Irving, saying, you know, you didn't like LeBron's leadership. Now this is your team. You lead the team.
Right.
But up to this point, Kyrie was, well, we have a veteranship, or we have a leadership problem. There's no veteran to lead this team. Homie, you are the leader. Like, be the guy. So it's for me, like, and my question for you, but it seemed like up until this point, there was a big identity crisis. And they're starting to find it, but there's still a glaring question mark as to, hey, who are the Boston Celtics? And you start talking, and you don't know how to finish the question because it's like, who are the Boston Celtics, you know?
So Chris can go right now, but – we know who the Boston Celtics are without Kyrie. We know that full well.
Yeah, I was going to mention that.
We don't know who they are with them. But yeah, you can go, Chris.
Yeah, like last year when we saw the Celtics without Kyrie and Gordon Hayward in the playoffs do really well. They performed really well.
Yeah.
And even this year, I mean, Terry Rozier has proved he could be a starting point guard for like two-thirds of the teams
probably
in the NBA right now.
Yeah,
I mean he's that good. He's one of the best backup point guards in the NBA. So I mean I don't know. I mean if they have a lot of success without Kyrie, they continue to show that. I don't know. Is Kyrie's contract up this summer?
Yeah,
it is. Celtics might as well just let him go, or trade him.
I think Danny Ainge is gonna play the same effect that Dave Dombrowski has played with Craig Kimbrell, in that you can go. And if you want to come back, by all means, we'd love to have you. But I'm not going to force you, because our plan was to get Anthony Davis. And if you're not here, sure, we'd love to have Anthony Davis as well. But now we have another issue on our hand. If we have a leader, without that big piece in Kyrie Irving with Anthony Davis. You know, and I'm sure Anthony Davis wouldn't have, he wouldn't have any inspiration to come if Kyrie left, you know? So,
and I mean, it's like, it's almost like a stress-free situation in a way, because you lose Kyrie, you still have Terry Rozier, but you have all these draft picks still from all these trades that I'm pretty sure that trade that they had with the Nets way back when with Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett, and all those guys, they still have draft picks from that.
They do, yeah.
You know, they have a ton of assets right now. They lose Kyrie, they could still have enough cap room to get somebody, and they have enough draft picks to be able to just build.
Well, the genius of Danny Ainge is that it's not the Brooklyn's picks, but it's that he took those picks and then multiplied the picks and then multiplied those picks.
It's a genius move.
And he's kept it going. So like, the Nets have their picks back now, but the Celtics have just multiplied those picks.
That's why, like, and I hear people saying, like, Danny Ainge isn't making moves at the trade deadline. Danny Ainge isn't doing this. I'm like, homie, we've got, like, 30 draft picks. Like, I'm not concerned about – I trust in Danny Ainge. Like, he's smart. He's a smart guy. I know – it's why, like, and people – oh, what if Kyrie leaves? We're going to have a plan B. Like, I'm not – this team without Kyrie almost went to the finals last year. I'm not concerned about where – and I'm a little concerned with – what happens when Kyrie is in the lineup for the postseason? What happens, you know, as we play the Bucks to start off the second half of the season next week. So that matchups like that, I'm concerned about, because you know Kyrie is going to be playing. So I don't know, a lot of question marks for not only for me being a Celtics fan, but also just being a fan of basketball. Like, what is going to happen with this team? I would like to think they'll figure it out. I don't know. Personally, I don't know.
I tell you what, though. The Eastern Conference, those top five teams, they're going to be fun to watch, man.
Oh, it's going to be the second half.
Ever since LeBron left, the East has been so fun to watch.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, I remember when LeBron announced that he was signing with LA. It was like, 11:15 at night. Like, a really random time. And that was my first thought, was this huge weight off my shoulders. Like, oh, my God, the East is so open right now.
Right.
It's insane.
There's five teams that I would not be shocked if they made it to the finals.
And again, it's not even coming from like Boston's definitely going to make it. It's coming from, I don't know who's going to make it to the finals from the East. Like, the top four is insane right now. Like,
anybody can make it.
Yeah, it's wild. So
I mean, even the second round of the playoffs could be the Bucks against the Sixers or the Celtics.
Any matchup's
going to
be awesome.
Like, the second round is going to be like the four teams against each other. It's going to be the Bucks and the Celtics, and then it's going to be the Sixers and then the Raptors.
It's must-watch TV, honestly. It's going to be awesome.
Pascal Siakam put up 45 yesterday.
Put up 45? Good Lord.
And now they have Jeremy Lin.
Wait, what?
They got Jeremy Lin. They gave him a standing ovation last night.
Wait, hold on.
You didn't know?
Jeremy Lin?
You didn't know?
The Hawks bought out Jeremy Lin, and now he's on the Raptors?
I don't know exactly what happened, but all of a sudden he's just on the Raptors, and they just gave him a standing ovation, and it's like...
Oh, Matt's freaking out right now.
Amazing.
Yeah, bro. Yeah, Google it.
That's changed everything!
So they have Kyle Lowry, Fred VanVleet, and Jeremy Lin. How about that trio?
All right, listeners, this is a really big moment. Matt just learned that Jeremy Lin is going to the Toronto Raptors. Matt, what are your thoughts right now?
Raptors are winning the East, dude. Beat me. Oh, my gosh, they finally have a point guard for the playoffs. When Kyle Lowry starts putting up 2 points a game and shooting 10% from the field, because he always does during the playoffs, they can put in Jeremy Lin, and it's like, boom, there you go.
He's healthy now, and he actually has a regular hairdo. He doesn't have those dreads or whatever they were. So he's a normal human being.
Lin Sanity's back.
Lin Sanity in the North.
Obviously, I'm joking. But I do think he gives them solid bench depth. Yeah. I was taking down some of the big unrestricted free agents of the offseason. Jeremy Lin was like 6 or 7 for me. I was like, he could play for a contender and, you know, make him, you know, their bench, because he can come off your bench as a combo guard, either the point or at the two, and he can really give you a lot of scoring.
Yeah.
That's great for that team. I still personally, I think it's going to come to the Sixers or the Raptors. I think the Bucks are good, but I don't know if the three-point shooting is going to continue into the playoffs. You know, they don't always shoot like a crazy good percentage. Brook Lopez is no, you know, Nico Mirotic, they don't always shoot really high percentages. So I don't know if that's going to translate into the playoffs. But yeah, that's big. I just think we're going to get Toronto, Philadelphia, and then
that'd be such a good matchup too. Oh my Lord.
What do you guys question? Right off the cuff. What do you think Philadelphia's going to do this offseason? JJ Redick is going to be a free agent. Tobias Harris and Jimmy Butler are all free agents. Because my thing is, I feel like JJ Redick is like the most important part of this team.
Oh, absolutely.
Easily, yeah.
I think so too.
And Tobias Harris is like crazy. He can do everything for you. He can shoot threes, do everything. Jimmy Butler is like the outlier there. Where like he can score off the dribble. He can distribute. He can play great defense. But like he can't afford everybody. Like if you take JJ out of there, I don't think the team is like going to get to the finals. I don't think they're that compatible.
I think you look at the grand scheme of things too. I mean, Butler out of those three, you know, personality wise, does he really fit in as well as the other two guys? You know, I think at the end of the day, they're going to come out of there with two of the three people still on the team.
Yeah, I was going to say.
They get rid of Butler and they get somebody else.
That's what I think they should do. I'm worried they're going to tank their franchise and give Butler and Tobias Harris both max contracts.
They can't. So it's got to be one or the other. They can't have
anybody else. Like, yeah.
The salary cap is going to go up a little bit next year at $109 million, but the Sixers right now, the salary cap's at $101 million and they're sitting at $105 million with after the Jimmy Butler trade. This isn't even including Tobias Harris yet. So this is from like right after the Jimmy Butler trade. So yeah, this is an old report, but still looking at that old report, they haven't let go of anybody big since then. So that's, I mean, I'm definitely not going to sit here and say, well, the Sixers are done after this offseason. But like that's scary for this front office, right? That they have a lot of big decisions to make.
Well, they're still going to have Ben. I think Ben's on like a team option. Of course. So they're still going to have him for like two more years. And then Joel, they can so they still have years left to go. You know, it's not like it's this year a bust for them. Especially if they just listen, do this, sign Tobias Harris and JJ Redick, let Jimmy walk. You're not going to have the money for Jimmy, and then see what you can do with the cap. That's the best thing the franchise could do. I'm really worried they're going to sign Jimmy to a max deal and just be like, we can't sign anybody else.
Has Jimmy Butler done, I'm not saying this like passive aggressively. I mean, like, has Jimmy Butler done anything where he came on the team and said they changed at that point? Has he done anything like that yet?
That didn't really happen with it. Again, he went to the Sixers and the Sixers were like, we need to get Tobias Harris.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They got Jimmy and they were like, well, that wasn't enough.
I mean, Jimmy's been good. You know, he's had some clutch buckets for them early. He had like two buzzer beaters.
Some of them were buckets that like, I'm like, I could have seen Embiid making that, you know, like.
Listen, man, I said a lot of crap about Jimmy Butler when we first started the show.
Of course.
Back, you know, a while ago. And like, I've been watching a lot of Sixers games this year. He's good, man. Like, they call him Jimmy Buckets for a reason. Like, he can take his man off the dribble. You know, he can shoot over you an iso ball. You know, he's great in cutting to the basket. Him and Ben Simmons are electric together. They always kind of know where each other are, and it's really fun to watch them pass the ball around. And there's this awesome play where they're on a fast break, and Ben does like an under the legs pass to Jimmy, who catches it with one hand and like scoops it up for a layup. It's so good.
I didn't realize how good of a free throw shooter he was. He almost shoots like 90% from the line.
Yeah, man. Jimmy's a ball. He's good, man.
I didn't realize he was that good.
My only problem with Jimmy has always been the attitude stuff, you know?
Yeah. I think that's what's going to be the factor in whether or not he stays.
That's why I'm coming to this point, not out of like spite for Jimmy Butler or anything. I just really hope they don't sign Jimmy Butler to a max deal because they're going to hamstring their franchise. And if they let Tobias Harris walk, I'm going to freak out.
They shouldn't. I bet you he's one of the most underrated players in the NBA and JJ Redick. Both of them.
Dude, Tobias and Boban are like my favorite.
Boban.
They're my favorite duo of all time.
Boban, I think they put the Knicks the other night, the Sixers. And he was like hugging DeAndre Jordan and he wouldn't let go. They're like best friends.
It's a match made in heaven.
When they were playing the Lakers, Mike Muscala got kind of like banged up a little bit when he went for a layup, and he was on the Sixers before. And Boban like ran over to Mike Muscala and was like, "Are you okay? You okay?" Like helping Mike Muscala up, and it's like, this dude's a boss.
Boban's the best.
Yeah. Hey, speaking of bosses, Well, did you guys have any more points on the Sixers to make?
No, I'm good.
Cool. Well, on speaking of bosses, last night, James Harden dropped 42. And he tied Wilt Chamberlain for the second longest 30-point game streak in NBA history. Wow, Matt got excited while I was reading that.
You
What's up?
You guys see Josh Okogie, my guys?
The block.
Oh, that block.
Timberwolves
yes.
rookie Josh Okogie. Look out, league. Dude, like, that's Jimmy Butler part two with an incredible, like, team-based mindset. Like, bruh, he's fun.
Yeah.
He's a good defender.
That was watched that like 40 times. That was insane.
I know.
It's a thing of beauty.
The best highlight from this season. Just seeing James Harden get stuffed like a turkey. Oh my gosh.
Dang. Anyway, well, I just realized this. Going back to the point I just made. Before we get into James Harden, So he tied Wilt Chamberlain for the second longest 30-point game streak at 31. Wilt Chamberlain hit 65 games straight at 30. I just realized how crazy that is, first of all.
Wilt Chamberlain's stats, they don't count, Zach.
They don't. Like, I'm just realizing now as a 23-year-old that Wilt Chamberlain cheated.
The thing is, like, it wasn't just like 30 or 40 points. He put up like 50 points in a row, like 50 games in a row.
It was him. It was only him. So we're nuts, just gonna, dude. Whatever. His stats are anyway. So James Harden has been going off like we'll get into issues with this in a minute, but he's been going off this year, whether we like it or not.
He's shooting like 38% from the field going off, man. That's great.
He's killing it. Russell Westbrook, I don't have his stats in front of me, but he's also having a really good, he has Paul George next to him, who's having a crazy good season. Like Paul George, if he's not in MVP conversations in a couple weeks, I'm going to be really upset because he has been arguably a bigger factor for OKC than Russell Westbrook has at moments. Like they work hand in hand, but still, like in the defining moments, PG-13 is killing it. He is killing it. But we'll get to him. If we want to get to him, we'll get to him in a moment because I want to keep this at the latter man I just talked about and Russell Westbrook and James Harden. So I ran a poll on Facebook and Twitter yesterday. I said, would you rather have your NBA team centered around James Harden or Russell Westbrook? On Twitter, and that's my question for you guys before we go into answers, who would you rather have your team centered around, James Harden or Russell Westbrook? And we can look at this at a fantasy basketball perspective too, as to like you have your two stars and then a bunch of, you know, other guy, or if you put him into any other team, but he is the guy, basically. That's the question. Mm-hmm. James Harden on Twitter, 71% said James Harden. On Facebook, 88% said James Harden. So both bases are heavily on board with James Harden. Whoever wants to go first, what do you think? Who would you go with? Well, because this is a, you know what?
You just changed my opinion of the question. What? I wasn't thinking like the guy. I was thinking like if I was like to build a team like 2K, like what type of players would I want to put around them? My problem with James Harden, I'm gonna go ahead and start. My problem with James Harden is that regardless of his supporting cast, he can only play one style of basketball. Mm-hmm. He's going to be a high volume, inefficient scorer. That's what he does. He's, unless like you get a different coach and you change the way they play the game, he's not playing a different style of basketball. That's just the way that he plays. Russell, on the other hand, has finally started to defer to a superstar this year. He's deferred to Paul George. Fourth quarter of the game, he's not running in a circle and throwing up a contested three-pointer like I always hated about Russell Westbrook.
Yeah.
He's saying, all right, Paul, you finish the game, which is like insane to me. I always used to get so mad at Russell Westbrook when he had KD because every flipping fourth quarter, KD would be like, give me the ball. And Russell would be like, nah, I'm good.
Right.
Finally now, Russell's giving the ball to Paul George and Paul's putting up a bunch of points. He's having a fantastic year. Amazing to see Paul George back in his prime. I was worried after he shattered his leg, he was never going to get back here.
It's great to see. Yeah,
and he has. I love it. I love watching Paul. It's
Chris. Who you got, Harden or Westbrook?
Matt made some great points there, and I totally agree. But I mean, to be honest, it's like I don't even have an answer.
Yeah,
because it's like they're both like it's hard to build a team around them both because they're both I mean, they're both really good, but they're both similar in a way. But I agree with Matt. I would rather build around Russell Westbrook, because James Harden, again, like he said, he only has one style of play. No matter who's on that team, he's not going to change. He's going to score. He's going to be great. But Russell Westbrook is more of a playmaker, and he's deferred to Paul George. He's even with Kevin Durant. It's like he allowed, like they still played well together.
Yeah.
And you know, if they even got more stars on the Thunder to play with Russell Westbrook and Paul George, there, I mean, Russell Westbrook's going to be all for it. He's a team player. So
they got Markieff Morris. I don't know if that's going to matter.
Yeah, they did. You're right. Yeah,
they did.
And Steven Adams has been great this year.
Yeah, he has. They got guys so, like Terrence Ferguson's played like really well. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, Jeremy Grant. Yeah, they got guys.
It's harder to build around Harden. I mean, they have Chris Paul, and he's been good. He's more of a distributor anyway.
James Harden has made Chris Paul a spot-up shooter.
Yeah. He's because changing it.
Like, yes.
And the Thunder are better for a reason.
So Matt made a really good point right there that I wanted to move into this, not really a question, but just a topic of conversation. The reason I put these two players in the poll is because – year after year, OKC and Houston have always been the team of, oh man, this is going to be it. This is the year they finally make the final. I mean, OKC made it a couple years ago. One time. Houston has yet to make it. Grant, yes, the West is tight, but this is about Houston and their team with James Harden. This team, and I want to throw it to you guys right here, can this team ever succeed? Succeed meaning make it to the finals and or win the finals, win the championship, with the style of play, and yes, the OKC has changed their style of play a little bit with Paul George being implemented into the scoring aspect of it, but with the two style of plays, with James Harden padding stats and Russell Westbrook and or Paul George padding stats, can this team like successfully make it to the NBA Finals and or win the NBA Finals with the style of play they're having?
Oklahoma City can.
Yeah.
I think so.
They play really underrated, phenomenal defense most of the time. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they come out and they kind of lay an egg on the defensive side of the ball. Maybe Steven Adams isn't feeling it, or you know, Paul isn't feeling it. But most of the time, they come out and
they got a great defense team.
And they play hard.
Yeah.
So again, I think they have a couple stars. They have perimeter shooters. They can play defense. If it wasn't for Golden State being unfair, I would actually say OKC would be my favorite to get out of the West, honestly. But again, Golden State's unfair. So, like, basically the question here is, once Golden State disbands, hopefully soon, can one of those two teams basically take the reins like the top team in the West? I mean, that's basically – and I think OKC can possibly, but Russell Westbrook's going to have to continue to play more like Jason Kidd-type role, you know?
Right.
Not taking 25, 30 shots a game, continuing to distribute more and more, allowing the offense to really flourish and flow through a system, where I was just kind of, you know, being a ball hog. Which he has been in years past.
That's an interesting topic of conversation, though, because at that point, if you were Billy Donovan, you'd be looking at Russell Westbrook and basically telling him, hey, I need you to change everything pretty much about the way that you play basketball. Or looking at, you know, James Harden, he does get the ball around for the most part, but he does have this, he has this mentality like Russ used to have, where if you miss a shot, I'm not going to pass it to you for a little while, and I'm just going to keep making these baskets. And Grant, like, he wants to win. I totally am on board with that. It makes sense. But if you're dropping 50, 60 a night and the rest of your team isn't, I mean, can we see you as a team that's going to succeed? Like, what has to happen with this Houston team to finally break through and be a team that's like, all right, this is it. This is the year, you know?
Well, they need to be better defensively.
Well, yeah, of course. Yeah.
Well, I mean, D'Antoni's their coach.
He's an offensive guy.
So yeah. He's not going to be, he doesn't play defense. They have to get hot at the right time. Mm. That's my opinion.
Well, they need to upgrade their front court as well. They've got guys there, but they don't have any power forwards.
Kenneth Freed.
Well, he's been starting at center recently too.
Yeah.
But once Capella gets healthy, I don't know. I don't think we've seen Freed and Capella yet together. And then they have Nene, and that's about it. They only have three big guys. But I mean, there's nothing wrong with James Harden being the scorer that he is. He's an amazing scorer.
And he had to be.
He has to be. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I just don't see them really going far in the playoffs with that kind of style of play. I think, you know, he's got to distribute the ball a little bit more. He can go ahead and average 30 points a game, but if he scores the way he is now and he's not giving his teammates opportunities to improve and to help him out, they're not going to go far. It can't just be a James Harden show. It's right. Got to be everybody else.
That's the thing, man. If when they get to the playoffs, guys like Gerald Green have to get hot. Mm-hmm. Austin Rivers has to get hot. Like, these are the Chris Paul has to play well. He cannot get injured. That's mm-hmm. really the main point for the Rockets. Chris Paul, like, almost every year in the playoffs gets hurt. He right. cannot get hurt.
And one thing that separates Harden from Westbrook, Westbrook can play defense. Harden doesn't even try.
Most of the time he doesn't. You're right.
Yeah, it's a fair point.
He can hunker down and try sometimes, but, like, most of the time he's just like, I'm tired.
It's definitely gonna make for interesting development as the second half unfolds, and I mean, with the All-Star break being this weekend, I'm really excited to see actually, before we move into the All-Star break, which I do have just one question I have on that one. What are some things you guys are? You know, usually on this show we make a lot of predictions and we do stuff like that, but I'm really curious to see what you're just most excited about for the second half of the season beyond the top four or five of the Eastern Conference. What are some maybe storylines or trends or just overall things of the game that you're excited to see in the second half of the NBA season?
For me, it's the backside of the Western Conference. I'm really excited to see if the Kings can continue to play as well as they have.
They're an eight seed right now, right?
They are.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're very talented.
And if the Lakers can actually get into the playoffs. So I'm more just looking at seeing if the Clippers actually begin to fall off. They traded Tobias Harris and everybody was like, they're going to fall off, and they just haven't.
Right.
So, like, we'll see. I think eventually they'll start falling off.
I think they will. Yeah.
You know, but I want to see if the Kings can keep it up. Buddy Hield's having an awesome season. You know, Aaron Fox is too, everybody like that. Mm. But yeah, I'm excited to see mainly the Lakers and the Kings, though. Those are my two go-tos. Yeah, the Lakers suck.
Before I make my prediction, I want to piggyback off you with the Kings. They played the Nuggets last night, and I watched that whole game. They are amazing to watch. They caught fire early, and they're just – I mean, they have so many talented young guys who can shoot the ball, and their offense is just electric. The Nuggets ended up coming back and beating them by only 2 points. But, I mean, they're – just watch the rest of the year. I think that they have a solid chance of making the playoffs.
And Isaiah Thomas came back for the Nuggets.
He did.
That was really great. I enjoyed
that.
I was so happy.
That was a good moment.
Man.
With their rotation because they have a lot of good guards.
Shut up. It's IT. I don't want to talk about that.
But hey, it's great to see him back.
We have a lot of good point guards. A lot of guards. Yeah. He's going to fit in.
That was a great moment. Matt said something. He said something very interesting. He said, and I quote, "The Lakers suck." You want to? I'm fully on board with what you're saying. But do both of you guys want to? You want to make your points on that with Matt being first? So, what's your point on that? Why do the Lakers suck, Matt?
Well, okay. I'm gonna go ahead and say a couple things. This may be a shock to some people. I don't think LeBron James is the player he was before. Either he's trying to save his body, which is completely fair. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if he's still hurt. Maybe he came back from his groin injury too soon. I don't exactly know what's going on. But I've been watching some, like, 2006, 2015 LeBron highlights. Bruh. Like, it's Holmes not even the same. It's not the same player we're seeing now. Like, we don't
he's
see
worn
the types.
Out.
Yeah. Like, he's older, man. Like, that's, you know, you want to say he's like, you know, some people think he's the GOAT. And it's like, I don't, personally. But, you know, it's like you want to see him play forever. You want to see him be great forever. Michael Jordan wasn't great forever. You know, he went to the Wizards and was pretty bad, to be honest. You know, and then, you know, LeBron's not bad. He still plays really efficiently. He does everything you should do. He's still one of the best point guards in the NBA. You know what I mean? He's so good at dissecting defenses and finding open guys. But the problem is that his team doesn't always make the shots.
Right.
And, you know, they got Reggie Bullock, which is nice. But Brandon Ingram doesn't hit shots consistently. They got Rajon Rondo, and he's played really well to his credit. Mm-hmm. But we're in an NBA now where people are putting up 130 points a game, 120 points a game. And as much as I don't want to say the NBA has, like, the era has surpassed LeBron because he can shoot threes, he can still play, like, well in this era. I don't think this like 3-point shooting league is fit for LeBron. I think he's kind of like a star of yesteryear, and people are going to start realizing that starting like next year and the year after, they're going to be like, wow, the league's kind of caught up with LeBron. And I think it already has. You know, I think, you know, and I think this is fair on Ben Simmons' point too. Point forwards that, you know, want to slow the game down and they want to like run an offense and find open guys and make backdoor, like backdoor passes and all this stuff. It's great. I don't know if it wins in 2019 in the NBA anymore. It's fun to watch. It's my favorite style of basketball, but I don't think it works anymore in 2019.
You pretty much like, have to be a great shooter to be successful in the NBA.
You have to be a fast, young team. Yeah. You got to be a great shooter. That's where it's going. I don't like it, but that's where it's at.
Yep.
Matt, I just want to say right here, you have our full support in that statement. Our DMs are not going to have your support on that, and I am so excited to get every notification from it. But, Matt, that's a fantastic point that I never thought of.
I'm a LeBron fan. That's
I know. And yeah, that's a good point. Another point, this is a guy who's backed LeBron for a while. So
I have watched LeBron James most likely longer than most people on the planet. Like when he was in Cleveland, I would consistently watch his basketball. The first time I would consistently watch LeBron games because he was like, but got me into the league. I watched Dwayne Wade. I was like, oh, this guy's electric. I watched LeBron James and I was like, oh my gosh, he blew my mind. I've watched him his whole career. I love LeBron, but he's not the same player he was. And that's fair. Yeah. No, he's 34. That's happens, man.
So one of the things I'm looking forward to, is a really good points, by the way, about LeBron. For the second half, the Nuggets, of course. I mean, they're right now, they're surprising everybody. They're second in the West right now, heading into the All-Star break, 39-18. Their best record heading into the All-Star break ever in franchise history. Nikola Jokic looking like an MVP candidate right now. He's just tearing it up. I think he has 12 triple-doubles this year. Had a game winner last night, pretty much at the buzzer. Overall, they don't have a lot of star power besides Jokic, but they're just a really solid young team. They have a lot of pieces. Mike Malone's been doing great. He's coaching Team LeBron at the All-Star game. I'm just excited. I mean, I don't know what to expect. I think they're gonna continue being really good. I don't know if this is gonna be the year that they end up dethroning Golden State or anything, but I think they have a solid chance to make it to the Western Conference Finals. And they've been really good in the division. They haven't lost to OKC yet at all this year. I think they have one loss in the whole division this whole entire year. They've been really solid this year. It's exciting to actually see them really do well finally this year. So I'm excited to see what happens the rest of the year. And IT's back.
Yeah.
Their ability to mix and match guards. Yeah. Through like, you know, the point guard through small forward position and just consistently have like awesome shooting on the floor at all times.
Yeah.
Malik Beasley. Offensively, he's like impressive. And you got Jamal Murray, you got Will Barton, always gives you a spark off the bench. Yep. Like they got
Monte Morris. Yeah. He's probably one of the best backup point guards in the NBA right now. His turnover, he barely turns the ball over. His assist to turnover ratio, I believe, is the second best in the NBA. And he's a great shooter. He's from Iowa State. He's a very, very underrated smart player. Could be a sixth man of the year candidate. But now with IT being back, and if Michael Porter can get healthy soon.
Yeah. I mean, he had a bad injury, in all fairness to Michael Porter.
And even like the guys that barely even play, they're still good. They could be like bench players or starters anywhere else.
Yeah.
They're so deep and really excited. And they run the floor well, and they only have 4 losses in Denver this year, which is the least out of anybody. They're like 25-4. You play in the Mile High, you pretty much can't beat them. The Kings were pretty close last night, but I'm excited to see how they play.
I really wanted to affirm you for fulfilling the stereotype of all Colorado sports fans and just being a very good fan, like a nice, clean fan. Like, this is a team.
What does that mean?
This is a team that's beaten the
shower.
Shut up. You listen to my point here. I'm trying to affirm my best friend, and this is a team that's beaten the Raptors like twice in one month. At one point,
they swept them this year.
Yeah, they've beaten the Sixers. They
beat the Warriors.
They've made the East look like child's play for the most part. Like, and they've had a couple really great matchups with the Warriors. They play them again in March. I'm really excited for that matchup. Mm-hmm. They're getting more TV slots, and there are two games behind the Warriors in the West. And Chris is over here just like, yeah, that's my team. And I'm like, dude, if the Celtics were playing that good, I'd be texting you guys every day. Be like, you see that Celtics game last night? Like,
it's so funny because Jokic looks like the biggest dork out there.
He does.
He just lollygagging.
You see that game winner he had?
and he's so good. He's just so smart.
Zach, that's more of like an indictment on yourself though than anything else.
I know it is. I'm, you suck, dude. Oh, dude, I'm a dick. Like, I know I am with my teams, but I'm sitting here trying to tell Chris, like, dude, I'm really happy you're a good person, because like, you could easily be just sitting. You have every right to sit here and be like, dude, my team's awesome. And we'd be like, yeah, from a Heat fan and a Celtics fan, like, yeah, awesome. Your team's awesome. But you're just sitting here. You're like, no, we're going to wait for the playoffs. We're going to see how it goes. Chris, you are the model sports fan we should all follow to be and aspire to be. So I just want to affirm you in that.
Go Nuggets.
There it is.
Gold.
All-Star weekend is this weekend. I normally could give two craps about any All-Star weekend or All-Star game. This year, I'm going to watch, like, even the Rising Stars Challenge. The lineup is pretty awesome for that game. I'm either going to record or watch all three of the, you know, the TV things this weekend. But I don't know. What are your guys' thoughts on All-Star weekend this year?
I'm looking things up. Hold on.
Okay.
I want to talk about the slam dunk contest.
Do it.
Because, you know, every year, it seems for the past 5 years, they put in athletic guys. First of all, they're all really good dunkers. But can we just finally have a dunk contest where we have, like, stars that we want to see in there? Can we see, like, Russell Westbrook in there? You know, like, we've been wanting to see LeBron in there for a long time. Or, you know, somebody, I mean, I know, I understand they don't want to get hurt.
Right.
But, you know, it would be nice for them to just one time, let's see the stars go at it in a dunk contest. We see them go after each other in the three-point contest and in the skills challenge. I mean, 3 years ago when Zach LaVine and Aaron Gordon went against each other in the dunk contest, that was probably the best dunk contest ever. But
that was dope.
You know, back in the day, we saw Dominique Wilkins, we saw Julius Erving, Michael Jordan, we saw all those guys in the dunk contest. Why can't we see guys like that now?
Instead, we have Dennis Smith Jr., Miles Bridges, him. I don't Diallo.
Do Diallo?
Yeah.
And John Collins.
It's like nobody.
Hey, John Collins is a good player.
He is good defensive player too.
John Collins is a good player.
Nobody knows who these guys are. You know, like the TV ratings, they would go up so much if they had big name guys in the slam dunk contest.
Yeah.
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 So I don't know. Maybe they'll change it.
Who cares about that when the 3-point contest has the reunion? Seth and Steph.
And Dirk Nowitzki, bro.
He's in the 3-point contest?
Yeah, he is. He's like, hey, buddy, I know it's your last season, so we're going to let you do whatever the hell you want to do. He's like, I'm going to shoot threes in the 3-point contest.
The dunk contest.
They're like, sure, Dirk. Come on out here and hit 2 3-pointers or win the whole freaking thing. Like, I don't.
Bad.
Knowing Steph, he'll be like, it'll be tied in the final. It'll be Dirk and Steph. Yeah. And Dirk will have hit like 22 or whatever. And Seth will be on the last basket. And it'll be like the defining moment. It'll be like, this could either tie or this is the tying shot to take Dirk out. And he's like, I'm going to do the Christian thing. And airball it and point at Dirk, and Dirk's like, well, you could have like been a good sport and just like won it because we know you're better than me. But I don't know, it's probably that's not
Curry confident. Cares at all about letting people win.
He's on the most shoot left-handed
broken stupid team in NBA history. What are you talking about?
He's just gonna shoot the whole thing left-handed or underhanded or
that'd
something
be the
he doesn't care
pick to do, but it's
nice.
happen.
My bold prediction, Seth Curry will hit more three-point shots than Stephen Curry during the three-point
Of course he will. He's a beast.
Seth will be like, this is my one opportunity to prove to the world that I'm not a failure.
He's going to own gonna prove that he's better than for Steph. 5 years straight after this three-point contest. It's going to be awesome.
Seth's played not too bad this year.
No. They played each other last night, Blazers and Warriors, and it was a who won that game? Blazers? Yeah. It was a great game, and I want that matchup in the postseason ASAP.
I mean, they only won because they got an actual 8-point play, basically, where they got a 3-point shot, and Draymond Green got a foul, so a 4-point play, then a technical foul, and then Steve Kerr got a technical foul. And then got ejected.
Right.
This is all this one in the fourth quarter. Basically,
129-107, Portland won.
It was like an 8-point game, and they got an 8-point play, which was hilarious. But it was like the game was over. It was like an 8-point game. It was a game, and they got an 8-point play, and it was like, all right, that's the game.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, it was a really good game.
Yeah, it was great. All-Star game is, I mean, I think LeBron's team is going to dominate, but yeah. I could be wrong. I don't know.
Also, real talk, has Team World ever beaten Team US in the Rising Star Challenge?
Probably not.
They're going to this year.
What's the roster look like?
They have DeAndre
Luka Doncic.
Luka Doncic, Seti Osman, Ben Simmons, OG Anunoby from the Raptors, Bogdan Bogdanovic from the Kings, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander from the Clippers, and then Lauri Markkanen from the Bulls.
Oh, it's going to be a blowout.
Stack, dude.
That's a stacked team, my guy. That's a stacked team.
I want to see Team World go against Team LeBron.
USA has Lonzo Ball, though. Don't worry, guys.
Oh, it's never mind. Sorry. Get LeVar out there while we're at it. Like, might as well. It's All-Star Weekend, guys.
Is Hamidou Diallo playing?
Our dreams are made.
That was really funny. I officially want to put in a formal apology for all of my comments about Lonzo Ball earlier in this show's history.
Why is that?
He is indeed not a very good basketball player.
Yeah, of course not.
Sometimes I get a little bit too excited and I say things I don't actually mean or things I don't know.
He just doesn't know how to ball.
And oh my gosh! End me.
Shut up, Chris.
Shut up. Off the ball is very bad basketball. Very bad at the basketball. So, yeah. He's so
I don't know how we're going to recover from that. Yes, he's bad at basketball. God, Chris.
It's a good finale.
Oh, God. Hey. You can find us on Anchor, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify. You just cut. We're on Anchor, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Breaker, Castbox, Overcast, Pocket Cast, Radio Public, and Stitcher.
Stitcher!
Bye, guys.
Bye, guys.